So our theme today is the joy of contentment. Let me put some definition to that. Contentment is to cease from striving for what will never be or regretting what has been. Contentment is to be satisfied and grateful for whatever joy and sorrow, fruitfulness and futility God is allowing in your life right now. Contentment is living in and celebrating fully each present moment. Captain Scott of the British Royal Navy, who led the ill-fated Terra Nova expedition to the Antarctic where all the crew died, wrote this in his immortal letter. When the chill of death was already on the expedition, we are pegging out in a very comfortless spot. We are in a desperate state, feet frozen, no fuel, and a long way from food. But it would do your heart good to be in our tent, to hear our songs and our cheery conversation. As Barclay comments, the secret of contentment is this, that happiness depends not on things or on places, but on persons. If we are with the right person, nothing else matters. And if we are not with the right person, nothing can make up for that absence. The Christian is in the Lord, the greatest of all friends. Therefore, nothing can separate the Christian from God's presence. And so nothing can take away our joy. Let us pray. Father, we ask by your mercy and grace that you would choose to use words to become instruments and channels, conduits of your Spirit's power and presence to bring conviction, to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring hope, to bring salvation, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom, to bring joy, to bring Christ. Please take a moment in silent prayer, asking the Lord to use his word today in your heart. Our passage today is all Philippians 4, which obviously there is far more than we can do in one sermon. So in this message, we're going to focus in on one practical application of this passage, the call to contentment. We're going to map out six secrets of living in contentment. To that end, let's start off, we'll skip down to 4, 10 through 13, where Paul reveals his secret of contentment, the overriding one. Paul says this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All right, six secrets of contentment. First secret is rejoicing in Christ. Rejoicing in Christ. Philippians 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and entreat Cynthia to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Pleasure has become the primary pursuit of life and purpose in our culture, and yet even now with more access than ever to immediate gratification, people feel emptier and more lost than ever. Depression, despair, cynicism, futility, these are the defining marks of our country and culture. The antidote, as we have been exploring these past six sermons through the book of Philippians, is true Christian joy. And as you know, Paul is not asking us to just have joy when life is going well. We know that Paul wrote this letter under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. Paul is writing to Christians who are under persecution, who are under poverty, who are under much trial. Because external circumstances do not determine our rejoicing in the Lord. Christian joy comes from the internal presence of Christ, not the external situation of our circumstance. Christian joy comes from an unshakable faith that despite all of the despairing news bombarding our senses every day, that we believe, that we rest in, that we trust, that we claim, that we work for, that Jesus Christ, King Jesus, is aggressively at work in our world right now, making all things right. Christian joy is not an emotion of happiness, but an unshakable peace and trust that Christ is indeed conquering all sin and suffering and injustice and evil, and practicing contentment is to live in the confidence that this is indeed the state of the human condition and that we get to be an active part of God's mission. Second secret of contentment, abiding in hope. Abiding in hope. Philippians 4, 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's the ESV. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. It's because we are confident that this world belongs to Father God and that our King Jesus is actively and aggressively reclaiming and redeeming the world, we can live with this state, this posture of our soul, that everyone who views how we live, they can say, oh, what a reasonable person. But that word reasonableness, as Ogilvy says, is one of the hardest Greek words in the entire New Testament to capture in English. It is just crammed full. We have to unpack it with 50 words to even begin to scratch the surface. The Greek word is epaikes. And it is one of the most untranslatable Greek words. So you have different Bible versions that use the word moderation, patience, softness, the patient mind, modesty, forbearance, and magnanimity. All that in one word. Ogilvy goes on to say it's a big word for a big heart. It's a heart that is open enough. It is soft and tender enough. It is understanding enough to accept the other person just as they are. Oh, how American Christians need this. To accept the other as they are. To receive another into relationship unconditionally without prejudging. Marshall describes the trait as fair-mindedness, the attitude of one who is charitable towards another's faults, merciful in one's judgment of their failings because they take into account the whole situation. It is a spirit of willingness to yield under trial, which it will show itself in a refusal to retaliate when attacked. So you just think of Christ having his beard plucked out and humiliated and shamed. Did not retaliate, but showed epikeia. Barclay goes on, a person who has the quality of epikeia, he knows when to apply the letter of the law and when to relax justice and induce mercy. The Christian, as Paul sees it, is the one who knows that there is something beyond justice. When the woman was taken in adultery, was brought before him, Jesus could have applied the letter of the law and could have had her stoned to death, at least theoretically, but he went beyond justice. As far as justice goes, there is not one of us who deserves anything but the utter condemnation of God. Thank God, thank you, God, that you are a God of epikeia and not just justice. Paul lays it down that the mark of a Christian is in his personal relationship with his fellow human beings must know when to insist on justice and when to remember there is something beyond justice. What a rich word. What a convicting calling. To the Christians of Philippi who were being mocked and harassed and ostracized, much like us, Paul instructs them and therefore us to respond with graciousness and gentleness. With those not yet living in full obedience to Christ and God's word, living in immorality or materialism, which is just as bad as immorality or unbelief, they and thus us were to respond without judgment, but with lavish grace. Brothers and sisters, if this was the mark of the American church, we wouldn't have 90% of us closing our doors in 10 years. This is not the mark of the American church. Command to rejoice in the Lord and to engage others with graciousness is made possible by verse 5. The Lord is at hand. I believe the NIV is the Lord is near. As usual, the NIV doesn't capture it as well as the ESV. The phrase is not about the Lord being near, as in currently feeling God's presence. The word near here is the same word in a multitude of verses about the Lord's coming being soon. And this is our hope. This is this future event is supposed to consume our meditations and attitudes right now so that it shapes our lifestyle. We are being shaped by the coming of Christ in our everyday decisions because it frees us to live a very different kind of life, and a very anti-American culture, wealth, prosperity, materialism life. Oh, how the Christian church needs this. When we live with this kind of view that our joy and our prosperity and our fruitfulness and our ultimate pleasure is something that we have all eternity to enjoy, we stop demanding it now. And we can see, no matter what's going on in life, and we can see it all connected to God's grand story. And when news and when people's daddies die unexpectedly, when all these horrible things happen, we can say, oh, yes, the current chapter is so full of sorrow, but I know God is running a good story with my life. I know God's running a good story with human history, with a grand and happy ending. That's faith, that's hope, that's love, that's contentment. The Lord is near perspective empowers us to be a thankful and contented people. When we live in rock-solid confidence of Christ's second coming and an eager expectation of our destiny as co-rulers of the new earth with Christ, it just frees us. It frees us to live a life right now of extravagant love and unexplainable peace and inexpressible joy. We no longer have to worry and to work to get the maximum amount of pleasure and success right now because we have all eternity for now. We're set free to forsake the American dream, to forsake worldly success and pleasure for the sake of sacrificial love to others. Third secret of contentment, persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wiersbe comments that the Greek word translated anxious here or worry in some translations is to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes pull us in one direction and fear pulls us in the opposite direction, and therefore we're pulled apart. The old English root word for worry means to strangle. Are you being strangled by worry right now? Worry has physical consequences, headaches and neck pains and ulcers and back pains. It affects our thinking, our digestion, even our coordination. From the spiritual point of view, worry is wrong thinking and wrong feeling about circumstances, people, yourself, and God and other things. Worry is the thief of joy. It's not enough to just tell ourselves, stop worrying. That will never capture this thief. We know that. Worry is an inside job. It takes more than good intentions to get victory over worry. The antidote to worry is the supernatural peace described in Philippians. It is a peace that guards us. And the Greek word there is garrison. It's to guard like a soldier. And so here's Paul, chained to a Roman guard. And he said, oh, the peace of God is like that. We can be chained to it, and it guards our mind and our hearts in Christ Jesus. We're to conquer worry. We need that kind of mind. And God lays down three conditions that we're seeing in our passage: right praying, right thinking, and right living. Anxiety rules in our hearts. We live in vexing, troubling times. It seems like our country and our world and the church in America, at least, not in the global South, is thriving. But in America, it's collapsing before our eyes because we made such a horrible mess of it. And we need to just turn off the news and turn on the good news. Confident and grateful kingdom prayer is God's antidote to exchange your despair for hope and your discouragement with faith and your fear with love. We are again to be confident. Contentment is confidence. Contentment is confidence that Christ is on the throne, and through us, his Holy Spirit empowered people, he's at work all around us in every single person's heart and every single situation to redeem and restore and reclaim and to beautify, to restore kingdom justice, truth, goodness, and beauty, and we can be a part of that. Fourth secret of contentment, imagining the kingdom. Imagining the kingdom. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Many ways you are what you think. Our minds never stop thinking. There's thinking thoughts all day long. Even while we're sleeping, it's thinking. Your brain never stops thinking 24/7, 365. Hence, to live a godly life, if ungodly thoughts are consuming your thought life, it's impossible to live like Christ or in contentment or peace. What's the old adage? Garbage in, protecting what goes into our mind is mandatory. Mandatory. This is not optional. Protecting what goes into your mind is mandatory if you desire to be more like Christ and to live out of his glory. This is especially true in our media-saturated culture, which feeds our minds nonstop. Some Bible versions use the word think here. Think on these things. Again, that's not captures it well. It's the word meditate. What are you pondering? What thoughts capture your imagination? And the Apostle Paul gives us these eight categories. This is how you measure. Okay, I'm gonna take a step back. I'm gonna spend some time in silence and solitude, and I'm gonna be more attuned, more mindful is the fad word right now. But I'm more mindful of what's going on and what my mind is pondering. And how often of your time of pondering is it things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and of excellence and of worthy of praise? In addition to what you ponder is how you live, studies have shown that our joy and contentment is far more determined by attitude than circumstance. This is great news because you have no control virtually over your circumstance. You certainly have no control over others, but you have total control over your response. In fact, it's the only thing you have control over. The only goal you should have in life is your response. Viktor Frankl spent years in a Nazi prison camp where persons, as you know, were subjected to very subhuman, anti-human, dehumanizing treatment. They threatened annihilation of decency, their worth and dignity of persons, their physical being. And from his death camp observations, Viktor Frankl wrote a book, and he wrote these words in that book. What he noticed is that some could respond differently than others. Some could maintain a sense of dignity even in that horrific situation. And he wrote this: "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men, I'm assuming women too, who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last pieces of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given situation, to choose one's way. So never blame your joy on other people. It's your choice. Fifth secret of contentment, practicing holy habits. Practicing holy habits. Philippians 4:9. Paul says, whatever you have learned and received and heard or seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. There's simply no way of getting around this. If you want to be virtuous, you must practice virtuous behavior. You must practice virtuous behavior. You have to develop holy habits if you want to live out your holiness. It isn't just a let go and let God kind of thing. It isn't that, oh, I'm forgiven by grace, so I don't have to practice being obedient. No, you have to practice being obedient because you are able, because the Spirit of God is within you. There's a big difference between a Christian pursuit of virtue and a secular pursuit of character. Non-Christians can have noble character. Both Christian virtue and good character require intentionality and diligent practice. What separates out the lists is all these ethical lists in the New Testament, and they were common in the day. The Greeks had many lists, ethical lists. What was different about the biblical lists is that it's considered the fruit of the Spirit and the virtues of Christ, of faith and hope and love, and things like humility that would never make a Greek list. And so the virtues of Christ, yes, we must practice them, but they are only possible, the practice is only possible because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. However, simply having the Holy Spirit doesn't make you automatically bear the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, how we know that? We must intentionally and daily choose to practice the virtues of Christ until they become more habitual in our life. It's a great book out on habits if you need tips on how to practice habits. God has so designed us that our degree of joy is a direct result of our obedience to Christ. Obedience fosters joy. No one without the indwelling Holy Spirit can know joy. They may have happiness, they may have moments of worldly joy, but not Christian joy. Moreover, no Christian who is willingly living in disobedience to the holy commands of Christ can experience true joy. Sixth secret of contentment, celebrating your glory. Celebrating your glory. Philippians 4:14 through 23. Long passage, a lot of demographic and biographic information. We're just going to pull out this one point, celebrate your glory. Philippians 4:14 through 23. It was kind of you, says Paul, to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs, and once and again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So The church in Philippians was Paul's like favorite because they supported him all through. They never were ashamed of his imprisonment, and they sent him friends to support him, and they sent him money, and they channeled money through him to missionary work, and he's just full of joy. They're his crown, they said. And then he gives this universal promise for us all. The more we give to God, the more he pours into our life to give more. If he's blessing us materially and we block that up or we withhold it because we don't like what a church is doing, then God blocks his blessing because we're not living in obedience to God. But if we are, if we're giving according to the measure given us, we have this promise. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You got that? And my God will supply every need of yours according to what? His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How rich is our God? And you tap into those riches by being a conduit of blessing others. Our God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Paul's closing words, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, two aspects we're going to pull out of this passage about contentment, celebrating your glory, both your current glory, your current station in life, as well as your eternal position on the new earth. This is contentment. So on earthly things, remember Bill Hybels' secret from Simplify? I will live joyfully within God's current provision for my life. I will live joyfully within God's current provision for my life. So look at your life. Are you living joyfully with whatever measure of money and possessions and talent and your station in life right now? Or are you regretting past or striving for others or coveting what others have? All that's ungodly and sin that needs to be repented of. Contentment is celebrating your current station in life, whatever it is. Hybels goes on to say, these are the thoughts that swirl through the mind of discontent. I don't have enough. This is the thoughts that define the most Americans. I don't have enough. What I do have is not nice enough, new enough, or big enough. I deserve what she has. I know I can't afford this, but I've already decided it's mine. I worked hard to be able to buy nice things, and so I will. Nobody else is going to take care of me but me. Brothers and sisters, if any of those attitudes or vows are swirling on your soul, you need to repent. Bible explains debt comes from wanting more than God's current provision for your life and arranging other ways to get it. Debt is ungodly. If you're carrying debt, get out of debt because it's ungodly. The only debt you should carry is your house, maybe a little bit of student loan. Everything else, ungodly. You're living beyond what God has chosen to give you right now. Whatever your provision level today is, insist on being content right there. This is what it means to live believing God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So that's contentment with your current station of life. Contentment because our lives are lived in the light of eternal calling on the new earth. Contentment is not about just about being content with your God-given or God-ordained degree of your current station. It's even more important to be content with your God-ordained degree of glory forever. So joy comes from being fully content with your God, with whatever will be your God-ordained place in God's kingdom now. Like, oh man, I wish I was Billy Graham, or I wish I was Hybels, or I wish I had was the boss. I'm tired of being the, you know. No, contentment is being whatever your God-ordained position is now and what will be on the new earth. So many I see are jealous of the degree of success of others, whether it's their career or whether in the church, and they think they deserve that degree of glory. Discontentment, listen, discontent is what caused Satan and then Adam and Eve to fall, and it drives all human sinful ambition ever since. And you heard me say this 1,000 times, that the purpose of this current life is not so you can have fun and have happiness and go on own houses and boats and cars and go on trips. No, the purpose of this current life is what? It is boot camp to prepare you for your eternal positions on the new earth. And so God needs a people who can handle an enormous degree of authority and glory, and to be content with whatever degree of glory and authority God grants them on the new earth without coveting a higher station. That's what it's all about. God simply cannot permit another Lucifer-type rebellion by glorified humans on the new earth. And so he set up a situation where there's suffering so that he can prepare a people who can be content with their God-ordained degree of glory forever. So how are you doing in letting the Holy Spirit foster a humble contentment of your glory, not settling for too little, not coveting too much? Let me repeat the definitions of contentment. Contentment is to cease from striving for what will never be or regretting what has been. Contentment is to be satisfied and grateful for whatever joy and sorrow, fruitfulness and futility God is allowing in your life right now. Contentment is to live in and celebrate each present moment. Takes suffering to produce contentment. After my wife Kelly and I went through our many seasons of loss and trial, Christ moved us to a place where we could just savor every little moment of joy that this world grants us, because they are rare, they are undeserved, and they are just the hors d'oeuvres of the coming kingdom. So there's times when I'm with my family and I just look, take a step back, and I just say, they're all together, they're getting along, my wife actually wants to be with me, we're playing a game, we're hiking, we're just sitting there, and it's just like this out-of-body experience of joy, and I just whisper, thank you, God, for this moment. That's contentment. And so to wrap up the whole series of Philippians, the call to us, dear brothers and sisters, is to live in joy. To fill your life with wholesome activities that bring joy and no regret. That you engage in just random and spontaneous acts of joy and fun and celebration. That you just keep pouring goodness and grace into every person you meet. That everything that when you're pricked and poked, what squirts out of you is grace. Because you know that every single drop of goodness and grace you pour into another's life does not go to waste. And when life gives you any possible reason to celebrate, don't delay. If life gives you any possible reason to celebrate it, party recklessly. Don't put off that dream. Don't you just take up that new hobby. Learn to paint. Learn the dance. Go to a park and just swing. Just live playfully, fully alive. Like the old Keith Green song declares, we are his daughters and sons. We are his colorful ones. We are the kids of the King. Rejoice in everything. If we live for Christ. If we die, we go to Christ. When we're blessed, we get to bless others. When we suffer, God uses to transform us. We are always in a win-win situation. As Tony Campola declares, the kingdom of God is a party. And so, let's say this together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let us pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you and we give you permission because you are our Lord. You get to dictate over our life through your word what is true and false, right and wrong. You get to decide our degree of material ownership right now. You get to decide our degree of talents and success. You get to decide that now and for all eternity. So Lord, we're asking that you'd bring conviction into our soul or anywhere we are living below our glory or coveting more glory than what's been allotted to us. Lord, will you bring into our lives the joy of contentment? Please take a minute to respond to God's word in prayer.